titles. And Andy Murray has retained his number one world ranking after winning the ATP World Finals in straight sets. He defeated Novak Djokovic 6-3, 6-4 in 1 hour and 42 minutes. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Every day, Sky Sports Radio offers a wide range of racing programs. Thursday mornings at 10:30, don't miss Chinwag with Cozzy. Sean Cosgrove brings you absorbing insights into racing characters from around the country. Everything Racing, Sky Sports Radio.
At Bing Lee, for a limited time, purchase an Iveco, LG, Westinghouse, Samsung or Fisher & Paykel fridge and you'll get it delivered and your old fridge taken away for free. Only at Bing Lee and only for a limited time. See in store or binglee.com.au for details.
The Big Sports Breakfast team are on the road again, headed for Muswellbrook.
I'm on the road again.
Join us this Friday morning when TK and Jimmy are live from Muswellbrook Race Club. The boys are there for the Upper Hunters' premier spring social event, the Holly Dean Estate Muswellbrook Gold Cup. Get the latest oil for the cup, as well as a liberal dose of all your favourite sporting news. The Big Sports Breakfast, live from Muswellbrook, Friday morning from 5:30 on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One.
On the road again.
Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, TAF, Volkswagen Amarok and USD Boral.
Perth's Inter-Dominion Championships kick off next Friday night at Gloucester Park, and Sky Sports Radio will preview the series on Tuesdays on The Pace. Join host Greg Hayes for all the latest news and interviews on The Pace, Tuesday morning, 10:30. On your home of the Inter-Dominion, Sky Sports Radio.
They're off. Gates open, they're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Tour.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is! Adam Scott, a life changer.
It's the first time he's finished about a GP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez, another in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Tour.
And 10:06, good morning everyone, and good morning Trent Lenscart at tab.com.au. How are you, Trent?
All good, yourself, Cozzy?
Fighting fit, you've had a good weekend?
Busy weekend, but there was still plenty happening, and obviously a huge round of the A-League that was all taken care of. Brisbane against Sydney FC was the headline act, and there was plenty of spice in that clash last Saturday night at Suncorp Stadium.
Certainly was, and I'll tell you what, Matt Windley's joining us now to catch up, and from News Limited, tell us all about it. Morning, Matt, how are you? Hello there, Matt. All right, you. G'day, Matt, how are you?
Yeah, good, how are you guys?
Very well, thank you. Interesting with Sydney and Melbourne City, that was Western Sydney, that was a good game.
It was a good game, yeah. I saw Trent's lovely colleague Nick Quinn tweet last night about how if you're on the 1-1 draws this weekend, you'd be bloody happy, seeing as three of the four games ended in that result. And that was another one with some, late theatrics. It looked like Melbourne City were going to hold on for what would have been a controversial 1-0 win. We can get to that. But, a late own goal by Neil Kilkenny gave the Wanderers a share of the spoils. So an interesting game, probably on the balance of play, you would have given the win to Melbourne City, especially in that second half. They did dominate. But that being said, Western Sydney had a clear goal disallowed for offside when Kieran Bullitt was onside, and then it led to some pretty funny scenes where he had a very, very passionate celebration with the fans and went for about 30 seconds and then only realised after he finished the celebration that the goal had been disallowed. So he had a bit of egg on his face, but probably not his fault, seeing as he was clearly onside before taking the ball. So it just kicked off what was the start of a very controversial round all round, with refereeing decisions in each of the games sort of stealing the headlines, unfortunately.
Well, the fans also played a big part in that match between Western Sydney and Melbourne City on Friday night, Matt, there at Spotless Stadium. And just again, for probably the second time this year, really surprised with the reaction to Tim Cahill, a Socceroos legend. But when he puts that Melbourne City shirt on, things change.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, I've never been to an English Premier League game, so I don't know what it would be like, you know, So, say, for example, you use the example of, like, a Steven Gerrard, for example, back in the day, you know, such a popular player all around when he pulls on the England shirt and Liverpool fans love him. But I suppose when he went to Manchester United, they would have got stuck into him. So I guess it's just part of that. You know, when you play for a club, you play for a club. Your allegiances are to your club. But when it's in the international sphere, then, you know, everybody gets behind the cause and it doesn't matter what club you play for. So I suppose that's the only way I can sort of look at it. Tim's obviously got a target on his back just because he's such a high-profile, prevalent player. And when he comes to town, and especially when he finds the back of the net against the team that's hosting, He's probably likely to cop a few boos, and I think he welcomes that, and I think he knows it's part and parcel of it. He's happy to play the villain in some of the other games because it's good for the sport.
I think we'd say fair weather fans.
Yeah, there's a bit of that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, the Sydney FC Brisbane Roar game must have been a ripper.
It really was, yeah. Brisbane calling on the old State of Origin style rivalry by wearing a maroon shirt, and the Sky Blues obviously playing in their blue kit, so it looked like the old New South Wales Queensland from State of Origin Rugby League. Crowd got behind it. It was really good. Josh Berlante, I didn't realise this was his first ever professional goal, and it'll go down as one of the goals of the A-League season because it was an absolute corker from about 25 metres into the top corner. An unbelievable strike, gave Sydney FC the early lead. Thomas Christensen equalised not too long after, maybe 15 minutes or so later. Went 1-1 at the break, stayed 1-1 for the rest of the match. But again, Sydney FC, you know, battered Brisbane in the second half. You know, probably on the balance of play, I personally would have thought that they got the win. You know, Michael Theo was fantastic in goal for Brisbane and was among the votes, I know, for the News Corp player of the Year votes, and I think also Fox Sports. So, you know, when a goalkeeper's making that, he's made plenty of good saves. But then also there was the controversy surrounding Ryan Grant, and it seemed as if he'd copped two yellow cards and wasn't sent.
Whoops, sorry, we've lost you there. You there, Matt? Okay, all right. You there, Matt? No, we've lost Matt. We'll get him back online there shortly. We might have him now. You there, Matty?
You got it?
Yep. Yeah,
right?
No, you dropped out. We got you there now.
All good. Yeah, I was just saying that the controversy around Ryan Grant getting two yellow cards, or at least it looked like he got two yellow cards. We all thought that he copped one early, but it actually showed that Alan Milliner, the referee, had pulled out his yellow card to give Ryan Grant the yellow, but actually they didn't actually brandish it and show it to him. And then when he got another one later, everyone thought that he was going to be sent from the field, when in actual fact he hadn't actually copped two yellows in the first place. So it was controversy all round. It was shades of Australia versus Croatia at the 2006 World Cup when Graham Pohl showed three yellow cards to Josip Simenic. So again, questions all round for the refereeing department. But probably in the end, a right call, but a confusing call to leave Sydney with 11 men on the park.
Well, we've just spoken about Brisbane and Western Sydney there, Matt, and they probably play in the headline match of Round 8. This will be Friday night at Spotless Stadium, so another good crowd there in store. And you've got Western Sydney $2.35, the draw $3.50, and Brisbane $2.75. In regards to the grand final, even though Sydney FC had their winning streak snapped for the season, they're now unbeaten after seven rounds. They just remain the $4 favourites to win the grand final, with Melbourne City $4.50. Melbourne victory at $6. Perth also $6, and Brisbane, the other team in single figures, at $8. And Perth, well, they get Round 8 started a Thursday night at Central Coast Stadium against the Mariners. The Mariners are $3.30. The draw is $3.75. And the Glory are the even money favourites. And the Mariners are able to get a share of the spoils yesterday against Newcastle in the F3 Derby. And Perth just heaped more misery on Adelaide United last Friday night.
Yeah, and you'll remember too that it was the first game of the season where Perth were 3-0 up against the Mariners, and then managed to cough up that 3-goal lead, and the Mariners got a share of the spoils. So there might be a little bit of revenge on the mind of Perth this week, but also a little bit of confidence from the Mariners in the sense that they were able to play so well in the second half of Perth last time. So an interesting encounter to start the round. I feel a bit sorry for the Mariners. I mean, I know it probably doesn't mean as much in this sport, you know, the short turnarounds, because you see teams play, you know, midweek football all the time. But the fact that the Mariners had to play against the Jets yesterday and then back up against Perth on a Thursday night when Perth have then had a six-day break, I think it's a little bit unfair. And I'm interested to see how that sort of plays out on Thursday night. Perth were and still are one of my tips for the title. They've been sluggish to get going. They weren't amazing the other night against Adelaide, but they still managed to get the chocolates in the end. But if they can string a couple of wins together, you know, by winning against the Mariners, then they'll be back in touch with definitely not Sydney FC, but the rest of the chasing pack, and, you know, will set themselves up nicely as we start to get towards the midway point of the season.
Gee, there's nothing between sort of second, third, fourth, fifth on the ladder, is there?
I know. Yeah, it's crazy. It's really close. It's very much like last year in that sense. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if Sydney FC can stay away. They've done nothing to suggest so far that can't be the case. But I suppose I'm really looking forward to, you know, I suppose we've got the FA Cup final next week, first time we've seen Melbourne City play Sydney FC in the season. And then I think about 10 days later, they play for the first time in the league. So a couple of defining games there, I suppose, to show or to see if City are capable of taking it up to the Sky Blues, because I suppose that's the general tip.
And for yourself, Matt, on Saturday there's a couple of games. So the 5:31 at Amy Park, Melbourne Victory, who didn't play this week after they were due to play Wellington, but with the terrible earthquake over across the Tasman, they weren't playing. So Melbourne Victory, they're $1.47, the draw $4.50, and Newcastle $6. And then 7:50 on Saturday night at Allianz Stadium, Sydney FC looking to get back on the winners list and continue that unbeaten streak. They're $1.57 against Adelaide United at $5, and the draw $4.25. So it's a case of the haves against the have-nots so far in this A-League season.
Yeah, it is. But if you love not so much an omen bet, but if you love looking at the prior records and the stats and all that sort of stuff, Newcastle has a very good record against Melbourne Victory for whatever reason. And then they've won a couple of games or taken a few points by surprise at Amy Park as well. It's not just Hunter Stadium. So if you've just got a feeling in your stomach that, you know, maybe Melbourne Victory's momentum might have been stunted by not having to play this weekend, and the Jets have got their tails up after a pretty entertaining game against the Mariners yesterday, it might be just worth a sneaky saver on the Jets, considering the history between these two teams. For whatever reason, it happens every year, the Jets manage to surprise Victory at least once or twice.
And then you've got on the Sunday, 5 o'clock at Amy Park, Melbourne City, they're $1.55, the draw $4.15, and Wellington $5. So Melbourne City, they've had the good form at Amy Park this season, two wins from their three matches, and Wellington, once again, just unsure about how they're going to go about it, because they've had to deal with everything, not just from the football point of view, but also their personal identity over there with everything that's occurred in the last week.
Yeah, 100%. You know, probably, I think they probably could have done with a break, because a lot of their players have been playing international football as well, and they've been going everywhere around Oceania and the world. So, you know, the break might have actually done them a bit of good. But it's the start of a massive week for Melbourne City. As I mentioned, they've got their FA Cup final a couple of days later as well, and then I think another home game the following week, the following weekend. So three games at Amy Park that could really define their season. You know, a chance to win a first trophy for the club and also pick up a couple of wins to move them within touching distance of Sydney FC up the top. So I'd expect Melbourne City to start off that week in style.
All right. Well, mate, good to catch up, and we will talk to you next week, Matt. We'll look at more of the A-League.
Always good to chat, guys. Have a great day.
Good on you. Thanks, Matt. Matt Windley joining us there, and looking at what's been happening there in the A-League over the weekend. It is, it's clustered up there at the top of the ladder, isn't it, Trent?
Well, aside from Sydney FC, Cozzy, there is that sort of the second through the, say, fifth or sixth, and that's where I think Brisbane, they may have established themselves perhaps as the second best team with the draw on Saturday night, but you've still got both of the Melbourne teams, and Perth, they're around the mark, and Western Sydney, they're just having this run of draws. They just can't get 3 points, particularly at Spotless Stadium, but Sydney FC, they're the class above, and it was a fiery clash on Saturday night, but as you'd expect, we had Brandon O'Neill during the week, Cozzy, and he expected some fire and brimstone in that match there at Suncorp Stadium, and it certainly delivered.
Well, they still haven't been beaten. They had the 6 wins and a draw. They're just flying this year.
They're going beautifully, and even though they conceded, once again, just a goal. So they're not giving up big goals, and that was a really good match. And as he predicted, we were joking about it last week, that it was a case of turning up, but he knew they were in for a stern test, and that was certainly the case.
Well, Ash Hall had a good weekend. He was out there in the Australian Open and finished up in the playoff, and he's with us now. Ash, congratulations. Great effort.
Cheers. Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
I tell you what, when you look back through your career, I think back around 2002, 2003, you were flogging mobile phones.
Yeah, that's true. Good research there. I had the dream, and I was just trying to work hard to get there, and eventually I was good enough and turned pro. Actually, turned pro at Royal Sydney in the Open 2006. So it's kind of a special place for me, it seems.
Now, Ash, for people who think playing golf is a good life, you just cruise around and make all the money, little do they realise the battles along the way. And I look back, I think 1 year there, you missed making the cut for a ticket by less than $2,000.
Yes.
That must have been heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was a bit shattering, really. But it was my first year over in the US, and I was almost surprised myself a little bit that I did that well. But, you know, now that I think about it, it's essentially one shot better you know, in any tournament or one extra cup made or something like that through that year. So it kind of hurts a little bit more now that it's gone.
You're a big boy. Do you like to hook onto them and drive them hard, or do you have to restrain yourself a bit?
Essentially, the better I feel and better I feel with the swing, essentially the harder I can swing it and control it. And I was feeling really good about it this week. We did some good work with just a little fine tuning with my coach on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday during the week. And certainly not the longest hitter, but yeah, I can hold my own out there.
Ash, just reading the article from Adam Pengelly in the Sydney Morning Herald, which came through this morning. Obviously, you spoke after the final round and the playoff yesterday, and you spoke about, as you got into Saturday night, with the message from your wife, Tara, and just the kids, just to go out there and give it a chance yesterday, and you certainly did that. In your wildest dreams, did you ever think that you were walking off the 18th yesterday, the 72nd for the tournament, and thought, well, I've just got to wait a bit here with myself and Cam Smith, because I've just got to see if Jordan Spieth is going to force a playoff here?
Yeah. Well, I did think I was a little bit too far back at the start of the day. I knew I had to have a really good one, and I did have a good one. And I posted a score that was certainly competitive. It ended up being the right score. A couple other guys sort of fell off. Cam bogeyed the last, and Jeff fell away the last few holes as well. So yeah, I was sort of hung around, and I actually got a call from my dad, and he's kind of like, what are you doing? Maybe you should be heading down to the range. So took his advice and got ready for the playoff.
Now, as I mentioned, the battles along the way, I mean, you go out there mentally for that playoff. How do you approach that compared to any other round of the 4 days?
Well, especially with a three-way playoff, you know, and with the guys that I was playing with, one of us was going to make birdie on that hole. So, yeah, that's all I was thinking about was good tee shot, good second shot, give yourself a chance of making three. And, you know, in the end, one of us did make three. So, yeah, it essentially went how I was thinking. It would have been nice if I made three, but that's just the way it is, I suppose.
And just the thrill yourself, Ash, I mean, obviously the disappointment immediately afterwards that you've been unable to win the National Open, but you can sort of sit back about 10 to 15 minutes later and go, well, I've just been in a playoff with Cam Smith, who's an up-and-comer there for our point of view as an Aussie, but Jordan Spieth, a multiple major winner, and yes, it was his second Australian Open yesterday, but you're thinking to yourself, geez, how lucky am I that I'm able to play here with just an outstanding young man?
Yeah, it was great. Jordan's certainly a great ambassador for the game, and it's great that he comes back. And you know, he's been here three times now, and I certainly hope he continues to come back. He puts on a good show for us, and it was certainly showed by how many people are around the 18th there yesterday. You know, they were seven or eight deep lining the whole way, and it's exactly why we all play golf. Just to have a chance to win in front of that many people was a great atmosphere. Everyone was yelling, and they were certainly behind us, that's for sure.
Now, Ash, I mean, you're originally a Melbourne boy. You came from Noble Park. You're a feral Collingwood supporter. We love that. but a while ago, you packed up. I think you've gone to Western Australia, because I think one stage you were overseas for 6 months, and that was pretty hard with you over there and your wife and the children back home.
Yeah, the third year I was in the US, we decided that Tara and the kids were going to stay home in Melbourne, and she's originally from WA. It was rough having to come back once during the 6 months, and she essentially said she wanted to go back home to the family, to her family, and in the end we sold our house and stuff out here, but she actually decided she didn't want to, so we actually stayed in Melbourne. It was a big 180. I was very surprised, but still here in Melbourne.
All right. Now, how long ago was it you weren't far off going through the seat column looking for a job?
I started to put a couple of little feelers out last week to a few friends that might be able to help me out. I still might do that. You know, playing in Australia, there's, you know, I'm not going to have anywhere to play overseas next year. I missed out at European Q School a few weeks ago, so there's so much downtime with nothing to play. You know, I'm going to still have to be doing something, so I might still do that just to keep the money coming in. We got to keep food in the house for the kids.
It must feel damn good after yesterday and give you that bit of confidence to know I can do it.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I feel like I certainly need to win one of these bigger tournaments in Australia and, you know, anywhere around the world to make myself sort of fulfill the potential that I think I've got. And, you know, I've played and won some smaller events here in Australia, so you know, that's the next step. And it was great that I certainly felt like I didn't throw it away or anything like that out there. So feels good for a couple of weeks' time at the PGA.
I reckon you get a few free drinks when you go back to Huntingdale next time, won't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's got to put in leave as well for Ash around about June next year. He's got an appointment at Royal Birkdale as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I've got to find, a nice boss that'll let me play golf is the trick.
Yeah, you just need to get someone who's a bad golfer. That's what you need. Actually, you can coach them on the side.
Yeah, exactly.
Bit of method in the madness. Mate, congratulations. Fantastic, Evan. It must be just so satisfying.
Yeah. It's pretty good now that, you know, we sort of sit down and I got home late last night and the kids are all happy and, you know, saying that they see me on TV all day yesterday and stuff. It's very cool and good to be home. It's actually almost nice to have a week off this week for the PGA the week after. So, you know, I'll go back refreshed and yeah, hopefully can possibly go one better.
Terrific. Good to talk to you, Ash. Good luck.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
There we go. Ashley Hall. Quickly with the NFL now. Laurie Harris joining us now. Trent, morning, Laurie.
Morning, guys.
For yourself, Laurie, we'll just go through the 5 o'clock matches that occurred this morning, the main ones, and your Dallas Cowboys, they just keep on going, 27-17 over the Baltimore Ravens. Important wins for the Detroit Lions and the Indianapolis Colts as they look to get back on top of their divisions, and a really costly loss for the Kansas City Chiefs. They lost at home 19-17 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but your Cowboys, they were the headline again yet this morning.
Yeah, they were. The Baltimore Ravens did a really good job early in the game, playing nasty, strong defense up front and shutting down that Cowboys running game. But ultimately, that Cowboys front's just a bit too physical and they wear down on you and can just end up rolling right through you. And that was the story. And Dak Prescott did a good job protecting the ball. Certainly got Dez Bryant going. There was no one on the back of the Baltimore defense that could really shut him down, especially as the game wore on.
And for yourself, just watching there, because it is a bit scary that the Detroit Lions could actually be the winners of the NFC North, but they got the victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars 26-19. But there was also a big win for the Minnesota Vikings against the Arizona Cardinals. Minnesota winning there 30-24. They'd been in free fall. The offense has been struggling, but when you get an interception return for a touchdown for 100 yards and then a kickoff return in the second half for 100 yards, that can usually cure a few of those ailments.
It certainly can. It was back to a formula for them. Like you said, it wasn't so much the offense getting rolling, but they got defense and special teams contributing, which is what laid the platform for their unbeaten start at the season. So, you know, Sam Bradford might only be chucking it around for 169 yards, but when you get more than 200 yards on two splash plays by the defense and special teams, it's going to help out. And yeah, like you said, Detroit, I believe it's the sixth time this year they've overcome a fourth-quarter deficit to win. So they're the comeback kids, the cardiac kids this year, and they'll make it very interesting in the NFC North as we see Green Bay give it a tickle later today.
Yeah, well, and that Kansas City loss, really important there because there's that three-way battle with themselves, the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders in the AFC West. So losing at home 19-17 to the Buccaneers, a costly one for them. Now, at the moment, Laurie, there's three games in action. There's the Los Angeles Rams there, 10-0 ahead of the Miami Dolphins. You've got the New England Patriots, 13-10 away to the San Francisco 49ers. But the bigger of the three, the Seattle Seahawks, they're up 16-7 against the Philadelphia Eagles. And the Seahawks, with the win last week against New England, all of a sudden can just put a little bit of gap between themselves and the Arizona Cardinals in that race for the NFC West.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's a big gap in the product on field as well. They're playing much better football than the Cardinals are. Russell Wilson looks back to full health. And we're seeing so far today that that Seattle defense is hitting hard. They're picking off plays in the back, in the defensive backfield, and you know, doing what we've come to expect for them to do as we see, you know, another creative play from Russell Wilson moving the ball downfield. So I expect them to really keep the hammer on the Philadelphia Eagles, make life hard for Carson Wentz, who we know can pull off a questionable throw every now and then when it gets cloggy in the secondary.
And for yourself, Laurie, the 12:30 game for us, which is this afternoon, so the Sunday night game, the Washington Redskins, they're $1.65 at home to the Green Bay Packers at $2.25. The line is a flat 3, and the over on the line, the most competitive one there, is 48.5 points. Look, the Redskins, they're not going to be able to catch the Cowboys to win the NFC East, but they need to get that playoff berth. And, well, Green Bay, especially with Detroit and Minnesota both winning today, this is almost getting towards a must-win situation for the Packers.
Yeah, I think this is a huge must-win game for both, especially the Giants taking care of business, albeit unconvincingly today in the NFC East. The Washington Redskins need this, and it'll be interesting. I think that overline's looking pretty good. It's been a pretty low-scoring day across the board, but as long as the weather's all right there, I think the wide receivers may be too much for both the secondaries in this one. I think Jamison Crowder could be the star out of a pretty loaded lineup across all the skill positions for Washington.
Just need to get some of these kickers to convert these point after touchdowns, Laurie. It's been a nightmare today.
Unbelievable. I tell you what, if I'm Dan Carter, I don't know what Johnny Wilkinson's up to these days, but I'm looking into a late career. Some of these kickers go into their 40s. I wouldn't mind cashing in around $1 million American a year to slot it from right in front every time.
Beautiful. Laurie, good to catch up, mate. We better dash. We will talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Laurie. Laurie Harris joining us there on Sky Sports Radio. Trent, we'll talk to you throughout the day.
Will do. Thank you, Cozzy.
There we go. Trent Langshaw, tab.com.au. It is right on 10:30 at Sky Sports Radio. Let's update news and sport now with Gemma Cutting.
Thanks, Sean. A dominant first half by Australia with 24 unanswered points has helped the Kangaroos claim the Four Nations Championship against New Zealand 34-8 at Anfield Stadium. City vs Country will be no more after next year, with officials confirming Mudgee will host the final match in 2017. Australians Cameron Smith and Ashley Hall have fallen agonisingly short of a first Australian Open after American Jordan Spieth defeated them in a playoff at Royal Sydney. Nick Maddinson, Peter Hanscom, Matt Renshaw and Chad Sayers are all set to debut for Australia in a third test against South Africa. Newcastle and Central Coast have drawn 1-1 in the F3 derby in yesterday's only A-League match, and Norwegian Andreas Mikkelsen has won the Australian leg of the World Rally Championship as Volkswagen and their association with the sport on a high. In other news, four Australians have been formally arrested by Chinese authorities as part of a crackdown on gambling crimes. Three of them are employees of James Packer's Crown Resorts. The four Aussies will be held in custody for at least 6 months while police finalise their case. Police have made 11 arrests overnight at schoolies on the Gold Coast, but have praised the general behaviour of Queensland teens partying at Surfers Paradise. And all southbound lanes on the M1 have reopened after a truck crashed into a fence and caught fire at Mount White just after 5 a.m. The driver was airlifted to hospital with serious spinal, pelvic and leg injuries. This is Sky